The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. As Jesus and his disciples were gathering in Galilee, Jesus said to them, "The Son of Man is to be handed over to men, and they will kill him, and he will be raised on the third day." And they were overwhelmed with grief. When they came to Capernaum, the collectors of the temple tax approached Peter and said, "Does not your teacher pay the temple tax?" "Yes," he said. When he came into the house, before he had time to speak, Jesus asked him, "What is your opinion, Simon? From whom do the kings of the earth take tolls or census tax? From their subjects or from foreigners?" When he said, "From foreigners," Jesus said to him, "Then the subjects are exempt. But that we may not offend them, go to the sea, drop in a hook, and take the first fish that comes up. Open its mouth, and you will find a coin worth twice the temple tax. Give that to them, for me and for you." The Gospel of the Lord. As he comes to the culmination of his celebrated essay, The Weight of Glory, C.S. Lewis writes this: "Meanwhile, the cross comes before the crown, and tomorrow is a Monday morning." Even though Lewis's head was in heaven during this essay, because he was discussing our deep desire for heavenly glory, his feet were firmly planted on earth. Tomorrow is a Monday morning. We too should feel we have tasted heaven at Mass on Sunday. But we should not forget that we have to put our faith into practice. Our spirituality must hit the streets every Monday morning. On this Monday morning, therefore, let me offer a few practical applications on how to take the gospel out into the world. First, let me suggest what to order when you go out to eat at a nice restaurant. If you like to order fish, may I recommend the tilapia? Why? Well, in today's gospel, Jesus tells Peter to drop a hook into the Sea of Galilee and catch a fish, which will have a coin worth twice the temple tax. The larger context of the gospel episode was whether or not Jesus was obligated to pay the temple tax. And Jesus makes a delicate distinction, almost as delicate as the tilapia itself. That is, even though he is exempt from the tax, he will still pay it. In other words, our Lord submits himself to worldly authority, even though all authority is in his hands in heaven and on earth, as Jesus will assert after his resurrection. So this morning's gospel offers us a twofold way to live the faith on a Monday morning. First, pay your taxes. Stop making excuses for why Christians and the church should be exempt. Of course, some exemptions are legitimate. And fill out your W-2, your 1099, and fire up your TurboTax. Oh, and why order the tilapia? Because tilapia is plentiful in the Sea of Galilee, and probably the fish that Peter pulled out to pay the temple tax. Hence it is called the St. Peter's fish. And now you know why eating fish is healthier on two levels, physically and spiritually. The second practical application is what Jesus says immediately before he recommends fish for supper. Namely, he predicts his own passion and death. Our Lord warned his disciples, "The Son of Man is to be handed over to men, and they will kill him, and he will be raised on the third day." C.S. Lewis was so right. The cross comes before the crown. And by the way, this is Jesus' second prediction of the passion. There are three times that Jesus predicts that he will suffer and die. Why? Because Jesus knows how much we love shortcuts to get to the crown without the cross. Whenever I go to visit someone who is sick in the hospital or at home, I try to offer a little spiritual advice. Often the sick person is in extreme discomfort or outright pain. And I say, "You might try joining your sufferings to Christ's suffering on the cross and offer it up for someone who is going through an even harder time, or perhaps for a family member or friends who need special graces." You know, I hesitate to say that because it would be very easy, and perhaps within their rights, for the patient to fire back, "Easy for you to say, as you stand there healthy and whole." But surprisingly, no one has ever rifled back that retort. Perhaps deep down, every Christian agrees with C.S. Lewis that the cross comes before the crown. Or better, we agree with Jesus, who had to remind us three times by predicting his own passion. There can be no Easter Sunday unless first there is a Good Friday. And before we get to Good Friday, we have to wake up Monday morning and hit the streets with our spirituality. And this particular Monday morning happens to be August 11th and the feast of St. Clare. Clare gives us another shining example of how to put the gospel into practice by a life of poverty. Clare lived at the same time as St. Francis of Assisi and was deeply inspired by his total commitment to Christ by renouncing all worldly wealth. So just as Francis started an order dedicated to poverty for men, Clare followed suit for women, starting what would become later known as the Poor Sisters of St. Clare. I think St. Clare can be a healthy reality check for us Americans in this land of plenty. Because there is abundance everywhere we turn, we are prone to forget that greed and avarice are vices. Indeed, one of the seven deadly sins. We can uncritically assume that the newer, the faster, the more expensive, etc., is necessarily better, rather than keep our eyes on the eternal, which can only be found when we embrace a spirit of poverty, like St. Clare. St. Clare's pursuit of poverty says to us, in effect, "Welcome to Monday morning." Praised be Jesus Christ.